Hello and welcome to Pump, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogon and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country or from gravel to road racing. And today I'm talking to Cynthia Fraser, who's just on the last stretch of a super successful ultra gravel racing season. In this episode, she will explain us what exactly gravel ultra racing is and what she experienced during the races of Badlands or the Unbound Gravel. And of course, she will give us a quick overlook about next season and what plans she has on her list. Hey, Cynthia. Many thanks.
Hey, how are you?
to take the time to do the podcast with us. I'm really good, but how are you and where are you?
I am doing super good this morning. I am in Virginia in the United States, and we've got a nice fall day. It's really pretty out, about 20 C, so a nice morning here.
That sounds really good. And you're just back from another race where you won successfully the multi-stage or multi-day race?
Multi-stage, multi-day. It's basically one stage per day that was the race. Yeah.
Okay. So what you are doing is ultra gravel racing. And could you please explain what exactly is ultra endurance gravel racing?
Ultra endurance gravel racing is riding your bike for a long time on a mixed surface. So mostly gravel, or depending on the race, there may be some single track, there may be a good bit of road. It just depends on where in the world you are. And sometimes there's more, depending on the race director, there is more single track, or there are more, you know, gnarly gravel roads, which I prefer. That's essentially the basis of ultra racing. Ultra races, though, can go from, I don't know, 24 hours to things like 10 or 20 days, depending on what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. And how do you prepare for such races? Because, yeah, especially when it's a one-day race or a 10-day race, there's a different preparation for it, I guess.
Yeah, I think for me, I may do it against the grain or against what most people might think you would do. You prepare just sort of like you would for any race, or at least in the US, we have gravel races that, you know, we've got the Unbound 200. And so it's not quite that far off of training wise for something that's like 1 or 2 or 3 days. I find myself doing a lot of really big days, maybe 10 to 14 hour days once or twice a month. And I think that those big days help just getting that fatigue and in your legs and knowing what it feels like to kind of push past a regular ride. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, I just ride. Sometimes I'll do some training specific workouts. But I think most of the riding I do, I end up getting those sprint efforts or those climb efforts that you might do in a workout in my normal ride. So it just depends on how I'm feeling, and okay, I kind of make it up as I go.
Okay, so that was on the bike side, and how is the training on the body side? Because especially when you're riding Unbound or Badlands, these are such tough races and such tough terrain. Are you training specially for your back or for your body to keep up with the challenges?
Yeah, definitely. I do a lot of weightlifting and sort of like dynamic movement exercises a couple times a week when I'm not really racing, a lot more in the winter, just to make sure that my core is super strong and that my arms can handle the intense, you know, bumps, and also just like maneuvering the bike, being able to get over obstacles. So that's a good, for anyone that's considering even gravel racing, a little bit of strength goes a long way.
Yeah. Okay. And if you have a short race, there is a lot of physical stuff going into a race. But if you have long race, there's a lot of mental games, and you have to be really, really strong on the mental side as well. So what is the big challenge on ultra distance gravel races?
I think there are a lot of mental challenges when it comes to ultra racing. I think that the thing that's obviously the hardest is just to keep going when you want to stop. I think that for me is the hardest. I will give myself mileage goals, like, okay, I can stop at this mileage, and it may not be until mile 300, and that's tough on the mind, but if you can, you know, if you can push through, if you can coach yourself, and a lot of self-talk. It may not be outward. I'm not like talking to myself while riding, but I'm thinking it. I'm going through the process of like, well, if you want to get to the finish, you need to do this. And so self-talk is super important. I think positivity is also really important. And a lot of, actually, I noticed a lot of ultra racers are super positive people. I've rarely come across one who's like negative or complains. I think you just have to be a positive person to endure something like an ultra race, even if it's just a one day, 24-hour race.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're complaining in your normal life, I mean, there's a lot of complaining in the in the ultra race, I think, especially when you're tired and you have technical problems or all that stuff. So I think it's pretty easy to quit the race and not continue. Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a lot of ultra people, like, things happen, life happens, and you'll at Unbound 200 or Unbound 350 XL, like, I think maybe 40 people finished out of like 130 the first year I did it. So that's okay. Like a small, very small percentage.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's crazy. And the other guys are just stopped and go to the bar or what they
Yeah, there may be some people that are actually still racing that go to the bar. That happened at Badlands a lot.
Okay, so talking about Badlands, could you please explain the special format of Badlands, or what is Badlands? What is special on Badlands?
Yeah, Badlands is an ultra cycling race in the south of Spain that starts in Granada, and it's 700 and this year it was 780K with 15,000 meters. So a lot of climbing over what is a long distance amount of miles, but still more elevation than you would normally see. Mm-hmm. And it actually goes through the only desert in the entire Europe, which is pretty neat. So it's a very dry and hot race. And it's the winners do in 2 to 3 days, depending on men versus women. Yeah, so it's an ultra cycling race that's pretty tough. It's one of the more hard races and also more well-known. It's almost like the Unbound of Europe in terms of ultra cycling.
But it's the Unbound of Europe, but it's completely different, right? I mean,
yeah, it's especially different.
especially Unbound has so many people starting. Mm-hmm. How many people started at Badlands?
I want to say, but maybe 250 started. So yeah, a lot, like 2,000 or 2,500 versus 250 is definitely a huge difference for sure.
When you see the pictures of Badlands on your Instagram page, it's a real desert and it looks super beautiful, but there is nothing but heat. So how do you eat in this race? How do you drink in this race and not get
That's a hard question. It's easy, but it's also tough. Eating and drinking when you're hot is something that I think you have to practice. I know that a lot of people that came from cooler climates struggle a bit with that kind of thing. Yeah. Luckily, where I live, it's in the summertime, it's 90 degrees. So I think, I don't know, maybe that's like 35°C. Mm-hmm. And it's humid. So it's even more challenging than maybe Spain, because it's the humidity causes a whole different ballgame. So I actually practice eating during those, so I was more accustomed to it. And that's just all goes into your training, you know, what you try and what you do to be better on race day. Mm-hmm. But I had a hard time probably almost 20 hours into the race. I actually had a hard time keeping food down. I threw up. I just basically was eating food that was too dry, and I just couldn't I tried to eat it, couldn't keep it down. And so then for the next maybe like 12 hours, I was dealing with some nausea, which is super tough. And I know a lot of people have that problem. I definitely struggled at times with water. I would blast past a water fountain in a town because I wanted to stay ahead or I was with a good group and it paid for it later. There were a few times where I was fully out of water or I was almost out of water and I was like taking one sip at a time to just make that water last as long as possible. So I learned very the hard way that any chance you can get water in the desert, you should get it, yeah, no matter what.
But I heard that you have some really good tips and tricks with yellow Fanta, I think.
Yeah, orange Fanta.
Orange Fanta.
I had an orange Fanta. I chugged it at the very last stop in the nighttime before I left. And I unfortunately was one of those things I threw up. And so I don't think I'll ever drink orange Fanta again. And now on Instagram, everyone is tagging me in their orange Fanta stories. I'm like, I can't see that. I don't want to look at that. That brings back bad memories.
Okay, that's funny. But I mean, with just 200 people starting these long races, are you riding mostly alone, especially when you're in the leading group, or are you racing in a group? So how does it work?
I think it really depends. With races that are either climbing or really flat, at Badlands, there's so much elevation. You sort of have to go your own pace. I found that every once in a while I was riding with another person who was similar in speed to me. Mm-hmm. I was about top 15 overall the whole time. And so I was finding that there would be a guy who I would ride with, but then something would happen. Maybe or would be a steep section and they would pass me or they would go faster. And so a lot of the time I was alone, but there were a couple times where I was with somebody and those are nice. You know, even if you don't speak the same language as them, you still are suffering together. And you know, everyone knows what it's like to have a buddy to suffer with, no matter who they are. It feels like there's a little bit of like camaraderie there, you know?
Yeah. But this is completely different I forgot the name of the US race.
Unbound. Different from Unbound. Yeah, it's okay. It is so different. I was with people almost the whole time this past year at Unbound. It's so much more flat. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of rollers, like kickers. You can look at the elevation profile and you're like, oh, it looks flat. It's not flat. But if you're in a group and everyone is working together or everyone has similar speeds, then, you know, you're able to stay together because it's not like you're doing a 45-minute climb. You're doing like 45-second, you know, punch. And so that's actually fun for me. I really enjoy being in a group. And I enjoy being by myself, too. I think both have good merits. But I enjoy the thing at Unbound where it's like everyone's together. Everyone is suffering. Everyone is pushing each other. And unfortunately, at the same time, the weakest link, if they can't keep up, they just can't keep up. And that's what happens. And people will, like, over 24 hours, slowly, every once in a while, we would lose a rider or something like that.
Okay. But if you're racing alone through the desert, how is it? I mean, it's, as I said, there's nothing and no lights and nothing. It's just you and your bike and the pain in the legs. So how is the feeling, what goes through your head when you're racing the whole night?
I actually have a love-hate relationship with riding at night. I really do love riding at night. I feel like it's an adventure even more than the daytime because you really have no idea what's going on. You know, you could see a bear or you could see something you may not see during the day. And that's pretty neat. It also means you can't see the beautiful views maybe that you're going up past. And that's kind of a bummer when that happens, but kind of exciting at the same time. I think for me, the later part of the night is the hardest, like before sunrise, but not quite there. It's feels like the most tough point in every ultra for me is unless I'm with people and I'm like really hammering or, you know, going fast, like maybe I did it Unbound. At Badlands, I was having a couple of those times where I just felt, you know, like, am I even going to be able to finish? And when I experience that, I have to tell myself and, like, you know, change my mindset. When I catch myself falling into that negative space or negative attitude, I will, like, totally stop everything I'm thinking and change and be like, okay, you are going to finish. This is not that bad. You've done worse. You know, I have to, like, coach myself through it, but it's definitely, it's tough when you're feeling down. I know a lot of people can say the same in a short ride. So when you're riding for 3 days, it can be really hard in those low moments, but positive talk for me is super important.
But is it more the motivation side that where you drop in a hole, or are you sometimes even scared being alone in the desert?
You know, I didn't really feel scared. I think I felt a little bit of fear just being out there in the unknown in a place I've never been to by myself. But I wasn't scared that I couldn't handle it. I knew that I could take and do whatever would come to me. And the motivation for me, I'm very competitive. So, you know, even though I may be a little bit worried about the situation, I will keep going because I have a very competitive nature and I want to get to the finish first. So yeah. If I have that in the back of my mind, that is what will keep me going.
Okay. And what happened if something happens?
Yeah, like a mechanical, if something were to happen, you know.
A crash or something, or you're getting injured and being alone in the desert?
I think if there is something like that, if I'm injured to the point where I can't ride, you know, that's one thing. I know that if something were to happen, I paid for the insurance and the people will come and get me with a helicopter, you know. Okay. If I'm by myself and I crash and I have to get myself up and wipe myself off and keep going, you know, there's a problem with my bike, I'm not gonna let it get to me too hard because it could happen to anybody, and the race is so long that 10 minutes spent fixing or dealing with that issue, even 30 minutes, is really not that big of time in the grand scheme of things. So it's really not too bad. If it's a shorter race, like 24 hours or something, that's when, you know, I might be a little bit more nervous. Yeah. That I might lose ground because of that.
Okay. So that sounds good. And you're able to repair your whole bike on the race, because I'm not able to do it.
I don't know if I am really able to. I have all of the things that for most, you know, mechanicals that might happen. Although, you know, if a spoke broke, I could figure it out. I would, you know, wrap it around another spoke or whatever. There are definitely some things, though, that I probably wouldn't be able to fix. I'm not really sure what those are, but I have all of the, like, parts, and you never know. Somebody might come along on the trail and might be able to help.
Hopefully you won't find it out, what you can't fix.
Yeah, hopefully I won't find it out. That's right.
So you finished Badlands at second. Are you happy with that place?
Yeah, it's taken me a while to be okay with that place. I really wanted to win, but it really was my first long-distance ultra past 24 hours, so I didn't really know what to expect. I was competing against Lael Wilcox, who is basically the best ultra cyclist in the women's field, and even in against men, she does very well, and I am a new to the sport kind of, although I've been riding for 10 years, she has been doing ultra racing for just as long, or ultra riding, yeah. So I have to be okay with that, because you can't win overnight, and it takes a little bit of time to accept the fact that I didn't get to the finish. My time and riding was faster, but my stop time was more, so that's something that I can work on. It's, like, very tangible for me. Mm-hmm. It's not like I was a slower rider in the end, so that is some consolation. But yeah, I am happy with second place, and I can't wait to do the next one to see how I can improve.
Yeah. So you had a super successful year winning the Unbound XL and now the BC Bike Race Gravel. How much is experience in the Badlands and how much is the fitness and the racing. Is it even possible to win such a race, such a long race with so many different challenges in the first year? Because I mean, second place in the first year, this is incredible.
Thank you. I think, you know, experience is, it goes a long way. I also think that the mental attitude goes a long way too. You know, there are other women and there are other people who join in and have success in their first couple years in ultra racing. And those people oftentimes have been riding for a long time. You know, they didn't just wake up one day and say they were going to ride for 500 miles or, you know, 1,000 kilometers or whatever. But I think there, you definitely need experience on the bike, and especially in something like Badlands, and also something like BCBR gravel stage race, like those require bike skills. And when you're fatigued and tired, your bike skills need to continue to hold up and be able to ride even when you're fatigued. And I think that those for me have taken years to develop, and I thrive in that environment, and I really enjoy that when I'm racing. And I think, you know, maybe if you're doing the like cross-country bike route in the U.S., it's road. For me, that seems super boring. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily need a lot of experience to do that. So it's sort of different. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So as you said, you're just coming back from the BCBR gravel. And you won it. So could you please explain the format? Because I know how the mountain bike BC bike race format is, and it's one of the best mountain bike stage races I've ever done. But how is the gravel race compared to the mountain bike?
I haven't done the mountain bike race. I would love to do it one year. I do really like mountain biking. The gravel race, this was its second year, and it's 5 days of racing, and the days themselves are quite short. They are about 3 hours of riding almost each day, 3 to 4 hours. And they seem on paper like they're going to be easy, but it's a lot of elevation gain. So you're basically going up and then you get to go down for the second half of the race. So it's a lot of like really hard technical uphill riding and then really challenging downhill with single track and really loose rock. And it's sort of a desert. It is a desert. It's Canada's only desert. I went from Spain's only desert to Canada's only desert in the same month. Funny. But yeah, it's a 5-day stage race, and each day has a stage that's, you know, 3 to 4 hours.
Okay. And how difficult are the trails or the tracks compared to Badlands or to Unbound?
Yeah, the riding there is pretty technical. I would still say Badlands had more technical riding because some of it was just unbelievable. Some of the climbs, you know, you would go for an hour and a half to 2 hours on loose rock, these huge rocks, and it would take you forever. So a lot of people had to walk and things like that. Very rarely was I walking on the BCBR stage race. Occasionally, maybe you missed you hit a rock and you kind of like had to put your foot down, had to dismount, get back on. Mm-hmm. But very rarely did I have to walk. And I would say even less did I have to walk at Unbound XL. It's super tame. They will send you on a couple different roads that are more technical in Unbound, but there's nothing in the state of Kansas that I would consider as technical as what's in Spain or, you know, what's in Canada where the stage race was.
Okay. So after such a successful year, so what is on the list for next year? Or do you still have some races on the schedule for this year?
Actually, I do have one more race this year, and typically by this point of the year, I'm really like what we call burnout. I'm tired of riding my bike. I don't even want to look at it, but I've been really enjoying the new format of racing that I've started doing, and I just, you know, I'm really excited about it, so I want to keep riding. So I'm doing a ultra cycling race in Chile at the end of November. Yeah, it's called Across Andes, and it's like November, last weekend in November is when it starts. And I think that one is 1,100K with 15,000 meters of climbing.
Yeah.
So longer than Badlands, a little more elevation. That'll be the last one I do this year, and then I'll take the month of December off to, like, I don't know, go skiing and enjoy not looking at my bike for a little bit.
Okay, and next year... So
next year, I don't know yet. I guess that's, I think with ultra cycling, you know, they have new races popping up all the time, and I'm still really new to the scene of ultra racing, and I don't know all the races. And so just sort of like, you know, going what to the places that interest me, because they go and they are in these cool, wonderful destinations. So I think I've decided maybe potentially, probably I'm going to do Atlas Mountain Race, which is in Morocco in February. So that's a big beautiful one, which is actually, yeah, I've never been to that area of the world, so I'm really excited to see it. It's not that far away from Andes, but I think a little bit of time off, and then again, I'm just really excited about it all. So I'll probably be ready to race. And I think I'm going to do the Traca, which is in Girona. Some U.S. racing. Mid-South is one that's really popular. I'll do Unbound again. And then I put on a bike race myself called Gravista, and that one is in June. So I'll do that. And then who knows after that point. I usually take a little bit of time off in the summer just after the bike race I put on and all the racing I do. I kind of need a break. So that gives me some energy for the second half of the season. And then I'm going to go back to Badlands and I'm going to win. So that's... that's the last thing I have on my calendar, but not the last race I'll do. Just see what else comes up.
Yeah, that's really cool. So that sounds like a good plan. And I really like the way you're choosing the races. So I've never been to Morocco, so that could be a cool area to do a bike race. And for me, the bike is a tool to get you to places and explore places and experience and meet people, and I really like that you do it that way, and I wish you good fun in the next races, and I hope to talk to you soon again, and good luck with the last races.
Very nice chatting with you. Thank you so much. It was great chatting with you. I really enjoyed.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.